The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
We're going to be talking about CrossFit. And of course, we're not talking about the physical CrossFit, the exercise program. We're talking about being CrossFit. Fit for the cross, fit for what Christ did for us as examples of who Christ is. Little Christians walking fit for the cross so that people will see us as the proper example as believers. So this morning we're going to talk a little bit about that. Let me give you a little bit of, first of all, we'll start with the scripture that I'm using, 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Running and preparing and exercising is very important. We recognize that. We need to have some kind of something that causes us to get some exercise, whether it's walking. You know, if you're a runner, I know some people who love to run. Dave Baker, I'm not sure that he's still doing it, but he used to run regularly, run about 5 miles a day. And I thought he was crazy, but he loved it. And you have to love running if you're going to run. If you don't love it, you get up every morning and you dread going out there to run, because I know I've tried it before. So, but we know how important it is to stay physically fit. Every one of us would not, but most of us are not doing much about it, right? Okay. All right. Well, as we think about this, let's think about how important it is for us to stay spiritually fit. It's extremely important to stay spiritually fit. And as we talk about becoming CrossFit, we're going to start out with some very simple instructions from the Word of God. But I hope to go through this series and we will build line upon line, precept upon precept, so that when we're finished, that we can all be physically fit or spiritually fit, I guess is what I meant to say, spiritually fit, to win every battle, because I believe that's very possible. I believe that we have been given every weapon necessary from the kingdom of God to be able to win every battle against this enemy that we fight against. And if we are spiritually fit, we will do it. If you're physically fit, you can exercise, you can run. You know, I didn't participated in CrossFit before. However, my daughter is big into CrossFit. And I've watched her exercise, and it's intense. It's very intense. I've watched her exercise. I've gone to some competitions that they have. This program was started by a gentleman by the name of Greg Glassman, I believe is his name. And he started it, and then he incorporated it in 2000. And now there are thousands of gyms that are licensed all over the world to train people in CrossFit. And CrossFit's not just a training. They also have competitions, regular competitions. And I went to some of those competitions with Jessica just to see what it was like. It's intense, very intense. They have to do some... What they normally do is they use calisthenics, aerobic exercise, weightlifting, and just about anything you could think of in regards to exercise and to prove that you are physically fit. All right, I'll talk a little bit more about that. But being CrossFit gives people, in regards to physical training, if you are truly CrossFit, and you qualify to be a trainer, you are in top physical condition. And I can tell you, my daughter, when she had some back problems, but when she was really into it, she was in top physical condition. You could just look at her and say, wow. Wow. Now, that's what we need as believers. We need people to look at us and say, wow. Wow. You're in spiritual condition. Exercise is important to all of us, right? I'm going to encourage you, get some exercise. Maybe we ought to start an exercise program. Every Sunday morning, we're going to come in 9 o'clock and start do some exercise. How's that? No, I don't think we'll do that. Probably not. But there are some awesome exercise programs. I was reading a story about a woman who was, she started exercising to a radio program every day with her kids. And she was exercising regularly. The kids were involved with it. And one morning she overslept. She woke up to the radio. It was on in the living room. And she heard the instructor giving commands. So she jumped up, got dressed, and ran out there. And she got out there, and the instructor said, all right, here we go, up, down, turn around, or swirl around, up, down, swirl around, up, down, swirl around, up, down, swirl around. And this went on for 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. She was almost completely exhausted, and she was about to quit when the instructor finally said, okay, now you can put your paintbrush back in the jar. Oh, wow. We got to be careful. The voices that we're listening to, that's my point. Be careful. Someone might tell you something that's supposed to be spiritually correct. Make sure it is from the Word of God. Don't just listen to what people say. Don't just sit in here and listen to my sermons and the Word that I give you. Make sure it's right. Be a Berean. Study the Word. Show yourself approved. Know what the Bible says. You cannot just rely on other people. There are a lot of voices out there in our society that are not necessarily teaching. They're good voices. They sound great. They may make you feel spiritually fit when they're done, but are they really teaching you the Word of God? Let's make sure of that. Let's make sure that's happening. All right, so we're going to get started with this morning. In our first point, my first point is that if we are going to be CrossFit, we must be committed to love. And I told you we're going to start basic and work our way up. In order to be CrossFit, we must have a deep love for God and a deep love for people. We must be committed to His commandments. John 14:14 says this, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. All right. Jesus is telling us, you know, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it for you. And then He qualifies it by saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if you're going to ask and receive, you better be a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must keep His commandments. And His commandments are not really that hard. His commandments are not His cross that He tells us to bear. It's not heavy. It's light, is what He told us. So what we need to do is to recognize that these commandments are very important if we're going to be CrossFit. The most important commandment Jesus gave us was to love God, first of all, and love people. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. If we do that, Jesus said, we are fulfilling the law and the prophets. All the law. What's the commandments? The commandments is the law. We love. And if we love particularly, we got to love what God loves. You know what God loves? People. God loves people. And He will always love people. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, because He loves people. Jesus died on the cross and came back to life because He loves people. He could have called 10,000 angels. Scripture is very clear. He could have called a legion of angels and more to come down and rescue him, but he chose to go to the cross. It was his choice. Nobody put him on there. Nobody murdered him. We got to understand. Yeah, there were humans that were involved with it, and they're going to answer for it. But the reality is, Jesus said, no one takes my life from me. I give it freely. He gave it for us.
Yes.
That's powerful. John 3:13 says, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Wow. 1 John 3:10. All right, so we got to love our brothers. Another scripture, John 3:17 says, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Very simple. If we're going to love our brothers, we're not just going to say, oh, I love you. Sunday mornings, we have a love fest around here. People come in, they get hugged. We love each other. But if that's all we were doing was just saying, I love you, and then we're walking away and not meeting each other other's needs, we are missing the mark horribly.
Yes, sir.
We must meet each other. We must first of all, meet one another's needs. When you know that your brother and sister has a need, we're to be there for them. And I got to say, I'm very proud of this congregation. Things happen behind the scenes. People do things for other people, and no one ever knows about it. Needs are met. No one knows about it. Physical, financial, all kinds of needs are met. People go and help someone. No one ever knows about it except for the fact that they're doing it. And, you know, I got to tell you, when you do that kind of thing, word does leak out.
Yeah.
You don't do it. You can't hide from it. Yes. People do hear that, hear about it, and know that it's happening. And I think people know that's happening in this church, that people's needs are being met. So I'm very thankful and I'm very pleased with that. We reach out to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. The second thing is we love our neighbors. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. Whatever other commandments there may be are summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that awesome? Jesus said the same thing. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the commandments are summed up in that one thing. If we will love people, walking in love, helping people, reaching out to people. You know, years ago, we had a ministry called Bondmen, and the men of the church would get together and not just help the people in the congregation, but go out into the community and do some jobs and some work. And I tell you the truth, it became overwhelming. We had several people that would head that up, and it just became overwhelming for those people because there was so many needs. And they just couldn't meet all the needs. I still believe that those are the kind of ministries that we need to have. Reaching out and touching people, helping people, ministering to them. And maybe it's not just an organized ministry we need to have. We just need to be aware of this all the time. We all have neighbors around us that have needs. Let's be aware of what their needs are. Reach out. Help them. Whatever the situation. John Somerville is currently a professor at Florida University. and he teaches history. And he does this exercise every year with his new students. He begins by saying, we're going to talk about ethics, and I want to present to you a scenario. He said, you're walking down the street, and an elderly lady is coming toward you. She has a pocketbook on her arm. Now, if you choose not to steal that pocketbook, then you probably are motivated by one or two things. You are motivated by shame and honor ethics. And shame and honor ethics is usually there's pressure from society to act in such a certain way. In other words, you wouldn't take that lady's pocketbook because it would bring shame and dishonor on your family. It would bring shame and dishonor on you. So the reality is, if you choose not to do it because of shame and honor ethics, you would be doing it for yourself and not for her. Your other choice is the kind of honor that you do it for the other person. You do it for ethics called regards for others. And you wouldn't take that elderly lady's pocketbook because you had regard for her. You wouldn't want to knock her down and hurt her. You might, you know, it cause her to be lame for the rest of her life. You may even kill her. Who knows? You wouldn't take it because you may be taking the last bit of money that she has for the next meal or groceries that she's going to purchase. You would do this because you had regard for her, not out of selfish ambition. Now, he would say to his class, okay, how many of you would steal the pocketbook? No one would raise their hand, of course. And then he would say, okay, how many of you would not steal the pocketbook because you had regard for the elderly lady? They would all raise their hand, almost every one of them in the class. And he would say to them, you have just chosen a Christian lifestyle. That used to be the lifestyle of our society. It's fading, but it's still present. And it can be a lifestyle that we promote as believers in Jesus Christ. Not because of shame and honor, not because of selfish ambitions, but because we have regard for other people. Thank God for that. What an awesome example that is for those students to come in and realize, hey, there is something about Christianity that is important in our society. The second thing is being dedicated. In order to become CrossFit, we must be dedicated and loyal. The people who participate in CrossFit, the exercise program, are completely dedicated and loyal. My daughter, who participates, she actually is a trainer. She has a gym set up in her garage. She has thousands of dollars worth of equipment in there. And she brings people in and trains them. They come to their house, and then she goes to another gym and trains. But she is completely and totally dedicated. Dedication to CrossFit is not just exercise. It's a total lifestyle. It's food. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of talking. Ivy said back there when we were talking about CrossFit, she said, CrossFit people have their own language. They're crazy. And she's right. They know what they're talking about. But they do have a language of their own. But they have a lifestyle that revolves around CrossFit. And they believe in it. And they live it. They walk it. They breathe it. They sleep it. They eat it because they have a certain regimen of diet that they participate in. CrossFit is a great example for the believer in Jesus Christ because we want to be CrossFit in such a way that we have a total belief system that causes us to walk in Jesus Christ each and every day. A lifestyle. A lifestyle that's not just a Sunday morning thing when we come in here and we're happy and we're excited to be here. No, when we walk back out those doors every day, our life exudes Jesus. And people know it. The living water flows out of us in such a way that it splashes out onto other people.
Yes, Lord.
That's the cleansing power of Jesus. Dedicated. All right. As we talk about being dedicated, we need to talk about some of the things that the Scripture tells us to stay away from if we're going to be dedicated and CrossFit. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Now, we've talked about the law. The law and the prophets, Jesus said, is fulfilled in loving God and loving people. The reason that that is the case is because if you love God, you're going to keep the commandments that please Him. If you love people, you'll not do anything toward anyone that would hurt them. So that's fulfilling the law and the prophets. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person. How many know that? That the law is not made for somebody who's a law-abiding system, citizen. You know, even the laws that we have in our society, it's not made for law-abiding citizens. It's made for those who's going to break the law. The law is not made for righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly, and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. Go on to the next scripture. For fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers. And if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, doctrine is proper teaching from the Word of God. According to the glorious gospel that blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Okay, we see a whole list of things here that we're supposed to stay away from. These are the don'ts. There's a lot more to the do's than there is to the don'ts. We do good. We do love. We do walk before our living God. But we have to understand that there are principles that are laid out in the Scripture that are for us to recognize that there is a line that we're not supposed to cross as a believer. We're not supposed to be involved with these kind of things. We're not supposed to practice that kind of sin. A believer, a CrossFit believer, is not practicing any of those things. But we all break the law sometimes. God is not expecting you to be perfect. He has made you righteous in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So we're going to fall short. You know, my wife is a law follower. If there's rules, she follows the rules. Sometimes they're silly rules, but if they're rules, she's going to follow those rules. Me, on the other hand, I'm not so much that way. She doesn't like it. Because I don't like rules. You know, I've always had the philosophy, rules are meant to be broken. That's not right. I want you all to understand that. That's not right, and I can't think that way. I have to change my thinking. But, you know, sometimes there are laws and rules that it just drives me crazy. It drives me crazy that the government can tell me that I can only drive certain speed. It drives me crazy that there's a law that I have to wear my seatbelt. But I want to tell you something. When I break those laws, I pay the penalty. I've had lots of tickets. Not good. I have learned that I do not want to break the law. I'm changing my attitude. Even on wearing seatbelts, because I got a seatbelt ticket. It's been a while, but I got that one. And man, that's painful. I think it was about $100. Wow. $120. I think it was $100 when I got it, so it's gone up. It's not right. My wife, as good as she is at following rules and laws, a few years ago, she was driving through Pomeroy or headed into Pomeroy. And right outside of Pomeroy, the police officer was sitting there. It's a 35-mile-an-hour zone. I don't know how fast she was going, but he got her. I like to rub it in because I think that's the only ticket she's ever had. She's a lawbreaker. I know, but I got to get her once in a while. It doesn't matter how good you are. You're not good enough. You're going to break the law. You're going to break civil laws, and you're going to break God's laws. Thank God for the grace and the mercy that He has for us. Amen. But I will tell you this. I want you to understand. You don't just go about practicing breaking the law. It's wrong. You don't go about practicing doing any of those things that we talked about and many other things that could be wrong. That's not an exhaustive list. It's just a list. You don't go about doing those things on a regular basis. If you're practicing it, there's problems with you being not CrossFit. You need to get back in the exercise program. But here's the thing. At any point in your life, you can repent. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. And get right with God. Thank you, Jesus. When you do wrong, no matter what, you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Father, I've sinned, and I just ask, because of the blood of Jesus, I ask that you forgive me. Hallelujah. It's just, we're starting all over. We're new again, and we go forward. Don't let the enemy lie to you and tell you because you missed the mark that you are not worthy to serve the living God, because he's a liar. You're going to miss the mark. And I'm not giving you an excuse. I'm just telling you, you're human, and we all are, no matter how dedicated we are. You know, when we think about it, we have baby Christians. And sometimes we have expectations of those baby Christians. Now, if you are a new believer, we would refer to you as a baby Christian. And that's not, we're not demeaning you. It's just that you have a lot of things to learn as a believer. But you know what? If we had, when my 2-year-old granddaughter, when she first started walking, no matter how many times she fell down, she could fall down 20 times. And we would say, get back up. Get back up and try again. Get back up, keep going. And you see, that's what we have to do. We have to encourage one another, and particularly babes in Christ. They're going to fail. They're going to fall down. They're going to make mistakes. Listen, we're not going to condemn you and ridicule you. We're going to pick you back up, but you've got to learn your lessons. Every time my granddaughter fell down, she learned a lesson from that. And now she's 2 years old, and she runs everywhere she goes. I can hardly keep up with her. She got her... We walk over to get eggs from the chickens. She was there yesterday. And I have this walking stick that Dave and Jeannie got for me. I use it all the time. And she saw that I had a walking stick, and she had to have a walking stick. So, well, her walking stick is a piece of the plastic pipe, what it's called, Waterline. The PEC. No, not the PVC. It's the other stuff, the red and blue, the PECs. Is it called PECs? Okay. Whatever it is. That's her walking stick. And she walked over there with me. It took us a long time to get over to the chickens and back. But we made it. She may be a little slow. New believers may be a little slow, but they're going to get there. They really are. And we're going to help them. Amen. We're going to stand together. You know, when I thought about this, I thought about this a little bit of the experience that I had with Jessica and her CrossFit. When I went to the competition, they welcome everybody. They had new members who had just joined CrossFit and just learning how to do CrossFit. And they participated in the competition. Now, CrossFit has a worldwide competition every year. I believe it's in Wisconsin this year. But where thousands of people come and compete. And these are elite athletes that come and compete in this CrossFit. But in the local ones that they have, and they have them on a regular basis, anybody can come in and compete. And I was amazed when I walked in there to look at some of these people that were competing. Any of us could have competed with them. Now, I don't want to be cruel, but they were not physically fit. Most of them were very overweight. They had not been exercising for a long period of time. Yet they were welcomed to participate. And I thought, wow, that's great. It almost killed them, but they did it. And I want to welcome everybody to participate. You had to participate on your level. They didn't put those people in alongside the elite CrossFit people. No, they put them alongside other new people. And sometimes you have to realize, you can't judge yourself based on anybody else. Jesus isn't judging you based on Pastor Rob or Pastor Otis or Ivy or Tammy or anyone else.
That's right.
Jesus is there. Man, he's the best coach in the world.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
He's right there. He's trying to get you to get up and walk. Get back up. Come on. Walk. I did it all for you. It's already done. All you have to do is walk. And then you're going to run.
Yes, sir.
And then you're going to win the race. Amen. Jesus is Lord, but he's my coach. The last thing that I want to share with you. If we're going to be CrossFit, we should be enthusiastic. I believe you're going to show enthusiasm about your God, about Jesus Christ, about your church. You're going to be excited, enthusiastic. Man, I get excited when I see people putting good things about the church on Facebook. They talk of, I don't see it. I have to back up. Tammy tells me. Yeah, wait a minute. I'm not going to Facebook. But Tammy tells me what's going on, and people are saying good things about Bethel. Hallelujah. That's awesome. Be enthusiastic about your church. Be enthusiastic about your family. Be enthusiastic about your God. He's an awesome God. He's worthy to be praised and lifted up. We glorify his name. One of the things that I learned about people who are involved in CrossFit, they are very enthusiastic about CrossFit. They're excited. They're excited about exercise, they're excited about products, they're excited about people that they exercise with, they're excited about competition, they're excited about gathering with people. That's what we are. We should be excited. This is an exercise. Every Sunday, we come in here and worship the living God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
This is spiritual calisthenics, if I can say it properly.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Good stuff.
Yes,
the Lord has for us. We can be excited about it. You know, I think we need to learn from this song that was very popular. I think it might have been popular again not too long ago, but in 1988, Bobby McFerrin released this song called "Don't Worry, Be Happy." Yeah, was that did they do a new release on that not too long ago? Oh, is it? It's a different one? Okay. Well, this one is, it says, don't worry, be happy. In every life, we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Amen?
Amen.
Let's do that. Amen. Let's be happy. Don't worry, be happy. So there's a newer song that came out recently, Don't Worry, Be Happy. That's the one I think I was probably thinking about because I remember hearing that. You know, it's extremely important that people see that we are enthusiastic about our faith, our life, our family, our churches, the body of Christ. You know, I know I'm sorry to say this, but I have encountered so many Christians that are so overwhelmed with life and difficulties. And I understand, you know, this life is not an easy life sometimes. The enemy throws all kinds of things at us. Life just happens and we go through it. But we must not allow the circumstances of life to dictate how we feel inside. We must recognize that the power of God is greater no matter what. You know, when I greet people, they ask me, how you doing? I'm doing great. Now, am I always doing great? No. Not in the natural. I have problems too. I have flat tires just like the rest of you. My car breaks down sometimes. I have expenses that I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. You know, I have family issues that hurt and are painful. So am I always doing great? No. But I am always great because I'm a child of the Most High God. The victory has been won. Man, we've got to get to the point where we're not allowing the conditions of our life to dictate how we feel about things and what we're doing. We may not always feel, but how we act. Our attitude. Our attitude determines our altitude. And you can ask any pilot, that's the way it is. If you have your attitude down, your nose of your plane down, you're going down. Give your attitude up, you're going up. Amen. So we got to stop having these bad attitudes because things are not just going our way all the time. I went on the web actually this morning because I wanted to find out what was the most sour candy available. And there was a whole list, you know, Sour Patch Kids and a whole list of things. But the one that really caught my attention was the number one most sour candy in the world, and it's called Toxic Waste. Has anybody ever had Toxic Waste? You have? Is it sour? Yeah, real sour. Did you like it? No. Okay. Toxic Waste. You know, it just sounds horrible, doesn't it? Well, I think that's the attitude we sometimes have. We don't want to be the people where people look at us and say, you've been eating toxic waste? Come on, I can see it in your face. I can see it in your attitude. I can hear it in your voice. Toxic waste. I'm going to get some just to try it. I'm going to try it out. We don't want to eat toxic waste. No. we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you have been blessed by this message. Our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit us at bethelwc.org. And remember, love never fails.